Here's a quick word from our football educational partners over at the Scouting Academy.
Listen, we've said it all the time. If you love the analysis and you're passionate about football, then you really need to check out the Scouting Academy. Whether you're a football coach, aspiring writer, or even aspiring football agent, the Scouting Academy is really a perfect place for you to learn and develop your skills as an analyst. With curriculum that spans over 375 years of coaching and personnel experience, the Scouting Academy offers you a 16-week online course that you can tailor and build to meet your needs and your interests. Whether you're learning about wide receivers or defensive linemen, you can make the experience what you want it to be. Listen, I've said it to you on this podcast many times. I've spent my own money, my own time, and time away from my friends and family because I am just this passionate about this game. And the Scouting Academy is the place where I really feel like I've learned the most I've ever learned about the game of football. It's made me a better analyst. It's made me a better person in terms of the coaching I do on the field. I can't say enough great things about it. If you have any questions about the Scouting Academy, please don't hesitate to reach out to Dan Hatman on Twitter or reach out to the Scouting Academy online via email. I'm open to all questions as well. Heck, I'm still even a student there myself. Please don't hesitate to reach out. I really think that once you learn all the tools and gain the knowledge that they have to offer, I really think you're going to be absolutely excited about the game of football again.
This is the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast.
This is where it all counts. This is why we're here. This is why each one of us are here.
And now, here's your host.
Welcome back to another edition of the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast. I am Paul Perticchese, and thank you for joining me this evening. The Summer Stock Report Series is continuing. 5-0 in the books. This is number 6. We're going to focus on the AFC South today. These mini podcasts are me sharing my thoughts, takes on every single relevant offensive skill player as training camps have now opened up across the NFL. We are just a day or two away from the Hall of Fame game and then, you know, a little over a week away from every single team in the NFL opening up their preseason, you know, slate as well. If you haven't checked out the previous episodes, make sure you go back and listen. Last week was the NFC and the AFC East and the NFC and AFC North. And then yesterday was the NFC South. So let's get right into it. Let's start with the Houston Texans. Obviously, a quarterback is Deshaun Watson. He was my QB1 coming out of that draft class in 2017. He bust onto the scene, quickly taking the job the second half of week one. Was fantastic for about four games last year where he was just absolutely four or five games where he was actually producing elite type QB1 numbers. I love the talent. I think he's going to be a very good quarterback, but the value right now in redraft leagues, I just don't get. I don't get how he can be the second or third or fourth quarterback taken. And right now, that's where people are taking him. I understand the upside he has, but that offensive line is extremely shaky. That I just think right now, you're not building in any risk. Like, he has to be an elite player from this year on a level of Aaron Rodgers. And I just don't feel it in a position that's so deep. I can't take Deshaun Watson where his cost is right now. In dynasty leagues, listen, you can maybe cash out right now and get a windfall back, but I'd be less hesitant. I'd be way more less willing, I should say, to sell him in a dynasty setting than holding off and not owning him in a redraft league this year. Because I still think his upside is top two, top three, maybe number one overall fantasy quarterback with his rushing ability, his passing ability, the playmakers he has there. I just wouldn't over aggressively buy right now, you know, coming off of that four or five game sample from last year. I think, you know, you have to be smart about your offers in a dynasty league and you have to let someone else take him who's buying into the hype that that's what he's going to be. He might eventually get to that, but I don't think he's going to do that all the time. His touchdown regression is definitely going to happen. He's not going to throw for 45 or 50 touchdowns, which he was on the pace for last year as well. So I love the player. I just think right now I wouldn't be, you know, taking him in redraft. I wouldn't be trying to buy him because the cost is too high in Dynasty. But I also wouldn't be selling him in Dynasty either, because I do think his upside is elite. I just think it's, you know, you got to be a little bit more cautious this upcoming year. At the running back position, Lamar Miller, Alfred Blue, Dont'a Foreman. Listen, Lamar Miller is a serviceable low-end RB2. RB3 flex type this year. I think he's going to get a heavy workload when Dont'a Foreman is still recovering from his serious injury last year. If Dont'a Foreman starts out on the PUP list, you know, Miller might be locked in early, and maybe he holds it all year as like a serviceable RB2 based on workload and usage. I tend to shoot for more upside with those picks. If he's going around guys like Ronald Jones and, you know, Royce Freeman and guys like that, Deion Lewis, I'd much rather those guys than Lamar Miller. If I can get him a little cheaper than that as my third running back or flex, I'd be on the, you know, I could understand that because, you know, he starts to present value there at the workload he's going to get. Alfred Blue, I think, is just a, you know, if for some reason we see him getting a heavier workload with Dont'a Foreman out or Lamar Miller injury, then maybe we pick him up. I think this is a great opportunity to buy Dont'a Foreman on the cheap. If you have really deep rosters in a redraft, I wouldn't even be opposed to drafting him. If the roster is deep enough to withstand him being out for potentially the first 6 weeks, I think he's going to emerge there. I love him in a dynasty type format. If I can get him for, you know, a mid to late round two rookie pick, you know, I would, because I don't think there's a lot of running backs that are really available in that area. So I'd be okay with a guy like Dont'a Foreman in the mid to late part of round two if people are concerned about it. I think he's going to, you know, with Deshaun Watson's, you know, rushing ability, with the offensive playmakers they have, I think Dont'a Foreman could really emerge there and be a factor. I think that offense is going to be good for foreseeable future, that if he becomes the guy who gets the goal line work in addition to a lot of the early down carries, I think he'd be a very viable RB2 in fantasy in the future. At the wide receiver position, obviously DeAndre Hopkins, you know, one or two in terms of dynasty wide receivers, depending on how you want to rank him and Odell Beckham in redraft leagues. I think he should be top four, top five. I mean, maybe you want to, you know, someone might have him two, somebody might have him three or four, depending on how you kind of want to rank, you know, Julio and Odell, you know, with Antonio Brown, who most people will probably have at number one, you know. Stud player, you know, I wouldn't be looking to move Hopkins. To buy him would cost you a lot. I think his value is what it should be right now. Behind him, you have Will Fuller. He'd be probably one of my strongest sell candidates this whole offseason. You know, he had that few game stretch where he really looked impressive with Deshaun Watson. I don't think that is sustainable. I think he's a hit or miss type player. I think he's got a little bit more talent overall than maybe a guy like Deshaun Jackson, but I think he's going to be inconsistent from week to week. And right now, he's going like as wide receiver 24 or something like that in redraft leagues. His value in dynasty is pretty high. I wouldn't take him in redraft. I think there's way more consistent guys with equal upside around wide receiver 24. And way higher floors than a guy like Will Fuller. And I don't think his ceiling is high enough to take him there, in my opinion. And in dynasty leagues, I think, you know, if people are really buying that stretch to finish the season last year, I'd be, you know, I should say that stretch with Deshaun Watson last year, I'd be willing to sell him right now, because I don't know if we're ever going to see him have a stretch like that and be as relevant as he was in that. A guy who I am buying in any third round rookie draft I get my hands on is Kiki Kuti. I love him out of the slot, his quickness, his ability to get in and out of his breaks, his ability to take off the, get vertical and take the top off defenses as well. I think he's part of the reason why I'm willing to sell Will Fuller. I think Kiki Kuti is going to become a factor in that offense. Deshaun Watson loved targeting his slot weapons at Clemson, and I think he's going to really, you know, make a quick connection with Kiki Kuti, and I think he's a guy who could have some value, you know, in dynasty-type leagues, and get him on your roster now and kind of let him develop. At the tight end position, it's a mixed bag. Ryan Griffin, Steven Anderson, Jordan Akins. If I wanted any of them on my dynasty roster, I'd probably be Jordan Akins. I know he's a 26-year-old, you know, rookie, but they did take him in the top three rounds. They took him at the end of round three in the top 100 picks. I think they think he can get on the field, get vertical, attack the seam, you know, and be a weapon from the tight end position. And he could have some tight end 2 weeks, you know, I think as soon as this year or by next year, as a guy who could be a little bit of hit or miss. I don't think he's ever going to get a huge workload or a huge target share, you know, but in tight end premiums and two tight end leagues, I think he'd be a guy that would at least be on my radar in that type of setting. He wouldn't be on my radar in redraft leagues, but in tight end premium or two tight end dynasty leagues, he's definitely a guy to keep on your radar. Let's take this over to the Indianapolis Colts. Obviously, quarterback Andrew Luck. Is he healthy? Is he going to be back and play all year? The early signs are he is. He's been throwing, he's been practicing, so that's a good sign. You know, there might be a buy-in window where someone's still worried about that shoulder, and if you can buy Andrew Luck and it doesn't cost you top five dynasty quarterback value, I might be okay with it. You know, I know it's a risk. You know, I know it's a risk, but sometimes the values of quarterbacks in those leagues isn't what it should be. So if it's already a league that quarterbacks aren't as valued so much, and you're getting a little bit of a discount on Andrew Luck, I think he's worth it. In a redraft setting, I think I'd be willing to take him. The quarterback position is so deep that you can take Andrew Luck as, say, the 8th to 10th quarterback off the board, and then you can follow it up with a guy like Phillip Rivers, or you can follow it up with a guy like, you know, Eli Manning, or a younger guy like Patrick Mahomes or somebody like that. And I think you're fine at the quarterback position, but if Andrew Luck gets back to form, you could be getting a top three, top four, top five quarterback, and it might have been the 8th to 10th or 12th, you know, quarterback taken off the board. And if for some reason he is injured or gets injured again, there's enough if you, you know, back him up with a safe guy like a Phillip Rivers, I think it makes a lot of sense. At the running back position, complete up for grabs right now between Marlon Mack, Nyheim Hines, Jordan Wilkins. You know, I think Jordan Wilkins is a guy people are really high on right now. I'm not ready to buy into it. You know, he was drafted on the third day. You know, those guys are replaceable level talents. So I would not be taking Jordan Wilkins in the second round of any rookie draft. I think the odds of him being the long-term starter for the Colts are pretty slim. If it's not Marlon Mack, which I'm not saying it is, I think they probably go out and invest in a running back either next offseason, whether it's in free agency or draft, to become their guy. They're building up a really good offensive line, so I think they're going to want to make sure they have a good running back to run behind that line. I don't think Jordan Wilkins is a long-term starter there. I'd be willing to gamble on him in the third round, because once you get to the third round, the odds of those picks really amounting, you're probably under 20%. So I'd be willing to gamble on Jordan Wilkins then, but I wouldn't invest like a mid-second round pick if he has a couple good moments in preseason moving forward. Nyheim Hines, I think, is going to be a little bit of a do-it-all type player. Think Darren Sproles. Think Tyree Cohen. I think he could be a guy that eventually, you know, gets, you know, 7 to 9 carries a week, a couple receptions. I think they're going to use him in a lot of different areas. They don't have a ton of playmakers, so I think Hines is going to be a playmaker sooner rather than later. Of their running backs, Marlon Mack still intrigues me the most. Big play threat, you know, in college, showed that last year, but also had a lot of negative plays as well. You know, I'm intrigued to see what he does. I think he's an okay receiver too. I don't think he's going to be asked to do that too much anymore with Nyheim Hines there, but I think his value in redraft is too high, so I would not be taking him in redraft. But I do think in dynasty, I'm intrigued by him to kind of wait and see how it plays out. Everyone's talking about, you know, how poor his yards per rush and stuff was like that last year. Well, their offensive line was terrible. They didn't have Andrew Luck there. You know, I'm willing to wait it out and say, let's take a little bit slower of approach and see how he looks this year. If Andrew Luck's there, is he getting goal line looks? Like, I think they're going to give him every opportunity to kind of take that job. But I do think it's going to be Frank Reich coming over from the Eagles. I think it's probably going to be a committee across the board. Hines intrigues me in the second round of a dynasty rookie draft. Mack intrigues me a little bit. But right now, I'm not in on the Jordan Wilkins. I think even if he starts out hot or looks good, I still think would almost take that as an opportunity to sell him if people want to start looking at him as a guy who could be really productive this year. I don't think he's a long-term type starter there for the Colts. At wide receiver, obviously, T.Y. Hilton and his value is 100% dependent upon, you know, Andrew Luck. If Andrew Luck is fully healthy, I think T.Y. Hilton is probably a value in redraft and dynasty leagues right now. And I'd get my hands on him and expect maybe a top 12, you know, season from him and wide receiver one numbers in fantasy. But it really is all dependent upon Luck. Behind him, you have guys like Ryan Grant, who signed as a free agent, Chester Rogers, and then the rookies, Darius Fountain and Deion Kane. I think Grant is a guy that, you know, maybe a wide receiver 4 or 5 if he's a starter there and it's an Andrew Luck-led offense. I don't think Chester Rogers has much value. The guy I'm most intrigued by is Deion Kane. He was like a top 7 or 8 wide receiver for me in this draft class. I was stunned that he fell as far as he did into day 3. You know, late into day 3, he's a guy I love his ability to get off press. I love his size, physicality. He can get vertical. He's a guy that if anyone emerges and surprises a rookie, at the wide receiver position, I think it's going to be Deion Kane. I think he could emerge and be a weapon this year potentially. So I like him as a third round rookie pick now. Maybe, you know, he was a little bit later than that, but with all the positive vibes coming out, you know, mid to late third round. I wouldn't overdo it because, again, he's a late round pick. Those guys don't have the draft capital to guarantee an opportunity and a long shot, once a long leash, once again, opportunity. But he's a guy to be intrigued with. Darius Fountain, even though they drafted him a little bit higher, I like Kane better as a player. I think Fountain's a little bit more raw. He's another guy, if you can stash him, take him in the fourth round of a rookie draft, you know, kind of wait it out and see with him. At the tight end position, obviously they got Jack Doyle, been there a few years, put up, you know, tight end one stats, you know, for the last couple of years. But now they went out and signed Eric Ebron, and people seem to be, you know, some people seem to be high on Ebron. I don't know what to make of this. I think Ebron, you know, has the opportunity to really develop. I think people are still waiting for that because of the athleticism. I think Andrew Luck trusts Jack Doyle. I think Ebron will have some moments. Even if they use him as the move tight end, I don't think that means he's necessarily going to be more valuable than Jack Doyle. I think Jack Doyle, you know, is a guy who Andrew Luck trusts. He's a guy who keeps the chains moving. He's got good hands. I think Doyle's still going to be a low tight end one this year. Maybe just not as consistent as he was in years past. I think Ebron is more of a mid to low tight end two that could have some spike weeks. Obviously that could change, but that's my current thoughts. We take this over to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Blake Bortles at quarterback. Listen, he's going to have a guy. He had some moments here or there. He'd not be a guy I'd want to rely on in any fantasy football type setting. If he starts out, you know, well, that doesn't change my opinion. I'd look to sell him if somebody was desperate for a quarterback. You know, he's just not a guy that produces consistently week in and week out for me. I know he's had some years and moments and streaks where he puts up quarterback one stats. I can't trust him. There's too many other quarterbacks that I'd rather have ahead of him in redraft and in dynasty. At the running back position, obviously Leonard Fournette, probably a top 10 to 12, you know, asset in dynasty leagues and redraft leagues from the running back position. My only concern with him is durability and lack of receiving. You know, I think they might want to get Corey Grant some more looks as a change of pace type guy this year. They still have TJ Yeldon there. They want to keep Leonard Fournette healthy. I think he's still going to see a lot of, you know, a heavy workload, and he's still worth a late first to early second round pick in redraft, still very valuable in dynasty. But I am concerned maybe about the long-term sustainability and durability from him. He might be more of a, you know, looking out short-term window, which is why I had him below guys like Dalvin Cook, Christian McCaffrey, and Joe Mixon in last year's rookie drafts because of that long-term durability and the lack of receiving ability. I think he's a serviceable receiver. I think we saw that last year. I just don't know if he's going to do that every year. They might want to get the ball into Corey Grant's hands a little bit more, use TJ Yeldon a little bit more like that, kind of free up Leonard Fournette in terms of that so they preserve his body a little bit more. But obviously a great asset. I would not be looking to sell. He's probably not one of the guys I'd actively be looking to buy either, based on where his cost is as well. At the wide receiver position, I don't know what to really say. Marquise Lee signed a pretty big contract. I was surprised that they let Allen Robinson go and then signed Marquise Lee. I think he's a very average to slightly above average wide receiver. I think he's best in the slot. Maybe they'll maximize that this year with the, you know, addition of DJ Chark and signing Dante Moncrief and D.D. Westbrook there in the second year and Kalen Cole. I think all of those guys are better on the outside as vertical threats, you know, but I think this is a complete, you know, uncertainty right now with the quarterback situation. I think Lee's the guy who deserves to go highest because opportunity and target will probably be on his, you know, him over the other guys. But I don't think I'd be buying him at the cost that he would cost right now. If I see he's going to work exclusively out of the slot, I think he might have some consistent, you know, wide receiver 3/4 flex PPR value, but I don't know if that's their plans right now. DJ Chark is a guy who intrigued me, you know, in the draft. He was like probably my 8th or 9th wide receiver coming out, but this is an awful landing spot. I know they're going to do a lot of play action, vertical shots, so I think he fits that role perfectly, and that's why they wanted him. I just don't know that they have the volume that he's going to be fantasy relevant in the, you know, early part of his career. It might take him some time. Obviously, Dante Moncrief is only there 1 year, so I think there's an opportunity, you know, for him to quickly emerge into a starter. I just don't know, even if Chark gets that role by next year, if it's guaranteed to, you know, mean fantasy relevance. He'd be a guy I'd be willing to take a shot on probably the mid third round of a rookie draft, if you haven't had yours yet. I think Cole, Dante, Dante Moncrief and D.D. Westbrook are just really stashes at this point. The Moncrief signing was baffling for almost $10 million. You know, once upon a time, he was a high demand asset in dynasty leagues. I just don't see it. I think he had his opportunity. I don't think going to Jacksonville and going from Andrew Luck to Blake Bortles is going to see him increase his value. I think D.D. Westbrook's a good route runner and can get vertical, and I like his quickness. I just don't, it doesn't seem that they're that high on him based on, you know, what they did this offseason. So we'll see. I know some people are really high on Keelan Cole. You know, he showed some, you know, productivity down the stretch last year. I just don't know if that's sustainable. And if they were really high on him, why go out and invest a second round pick, you know, on DJ Chark? Why give $10 million to Dante Moncrief? It a lot of their moves at wide receiver, you know, I think spoke volumes that they didn't really love what they had there. And that's why they invested a second round pick and gave Moncrief $10 million. I know it's just 1 year, so it's just a flyer, you know, but that's the vibe I kind of get. And then the tight end position, they went out and signed Austin Seferian Jenkins. You know, obviously had some good weeks last year for the Jets. Again, I like him as a, you know, I would have liked him as a low tight end one if he went somewhere else. I think now he's more of a mid tight end two. Could have some spike weeks here or there. I think if you're going to get, you know, I think there's better guys with more upside there than Seferian Jenkins. But if you wait on tight end, you know, and take a guy with some upside, like maybe a OJ Howard, I could see Seferian Jenkins, you know, being a decent, you know, veteran to pair with him also, who will be on the field for a lot of snaps and might be serviceable in that way, just in case the young guy didn't emerge. And then at the final team in the AFC South is the Tennessee Titans. Brand new offense, really excited for this. I think this could really change the value and the outlook of some of these Titans players. Right at the top, I think Marcus Mariota is in for a career year. I think they're going to get him on the move more. I think they're going to use more RPOs, more spread, you know, let him utilize his athleticism. I'm excited for Mariota this year. I think this could be his career year, and it's going to be fun to kind of watch this transition that the offense is doing to kind of maximize the skill set of him and the players around him. At the running back position, Deion Lewis and Derrick Henry. I think they both have value. I think they're both guys that I'd be willing to invest in redraft and or dynasty leagues. I do think, though, that people who expect Derrick Henry to take this massive workload and guaranteed goal line touches are going to be a little bit sorely disappointed. They went out and aggressively got Deion Lewis. They paid him more money than any other running back in free agency besides Jerick McKinnon. You know, Matt LaFleur coming over from the Rams knew exactly what he wanted. They went out and got Deion Lewis. I think he's going to play on most third downs. He's going to be the receiving back, but I also think he's going to get a lot of work early downs as well. I don't think it's going to be, oh, Derrick Henry gets all the between the tackles early down work and Deion Lewis is just a change of pace third down. I don't think that. I think they see this more as a 50-50 committee, and for that reason, I know Derrick Henry is going to probably get more touching opportunities. I also think Deion Lewis is going to get a lot of receiving work. So Derrick Henry might have a chance at 8 to 10 touchdowns, you know, but Deion Lewis might have a chance at 50 receptions. So, and I don't think he's going to score some touchdowns as well. So I think I'd probably take the guy who is going later, and that's Deion Lewis, and obviously would cost a lot less in dynasty setups. So Lewis would be the guy I'd be trying to buy and potentially get as like an RB3 in redraft leagues or flex play in redraft leagues. But Henry's a guy, his skill set still intrigues me, but I do think it speaks volumes that they want another really solid running back in the mix there, because I don't think they looked at him as a guy who can carry, not that he couldn't carry the workload, but I think they wanted someone with a differing skill set to be a big part of their new offense that they have, that they're creating there. At the wide receiver position, obviously Corey Davis, first round top five pick last year. I think he's a guy most people think he could have a breakout year this year. Reports out of camp are that he looks good, but that's most of the reports out of camp. I do think he's a guy that was a little overdrafted last year. I thought he should have been more of a late round one pick and not a top 10 pick. I didn't think any of those guys should be top 10 picks last year, but I do think he's going to get every opportunity to emerge as their go-to wide receiver. I could see a scenario this year where he puts up top 24 stats in fantasy. And I think he's going, you know, a little bit later than that in redraft leagues. So I think he's okay value in like the fifth to seventh round. And you have a shot at wide receiver two stats. I think it's more probably he puts up wide receiver three stats this year. In dynasty, his value is a lot higher than that. It's still like top 15 at the position. I wouldn't be investing at that yet. I need to take a little bit more of a wait and see approach based on who else is going around that spot. Maybe I miss out on him. Maybe I don't, but you know, I think you got to need to see a little bit more before you're willing to pay that premium of a price. I do like his game. I think he's going to become a very good wide receiver, but I just wouldn't be willing to pay that cost right now if that's what it costs based on the other guys going in that neighborhood in Dynasty startups, or if that's his value in trades. It's a little too high for me in that format right now. I wouldn't be looking to sell him either, but I wouldn't be looking to actively buy him at that cost. After him, you have Rishard Matthews, has not reported yet for camp. Not really sure what's going on there. He's a guy that seems to be undervalued every year. I think if he's fully healthy and ready to go, he's a solid wide receiver 4/flex play. I think Marcus Mariota trusts him. They have a rapport already. I think he gets undervalued every year, and because his production, I think, would potentially limit Corey Davis to potentially more of a wide receiver 3 this year than that wide receiver 2 that I think some people might want him to jump up to. But it all depends. If Matthews isn't there, I mean, then Corey Davis really has potential to put up top 15 type stats this year if he gets that, you know, workload and target share as well. Taywan Taylor is an interesting flyer. I'm a fan of him. I think he's a guy I'd love to get on the cheap now in dynasty leagues. I'd love to take him as a late round pick in best ball. If it's a deep, deep roster and redrafts, I wouldn't mind having him as well. And the longer Matthews is missing, the higher that I would be, the earlier I'd be willing to take Taylor, the more I'd be willing to invest in him, because I do like his overall game. I think his skill set is very comparable to Anthony Miller, who right now is one of the hottest names in Dynasty. And then the tight end position, Delanie Walker, I think rock solid value as a, you know, mid to late tight end 1 in redraft leagues. I think he's a great buy in Dynasty for a short term. I think tight end position, you know, once you're talking about the elite guys, I don't mind living in that, you know, veteran approach, you know, get a couple solid years and then look for another guy like that. I think Delanie Walker is still going to be a rock solid tight end 1. And then Jonnu Smith is an intriguing guy in 2 tight end or deep tight end premium leagues. Kind of get him on your back of your roster and stash him away, because I do like his receiving upside as well. So there it is, the AFC South in the books. Hopefully you are enjoying these mini podcasts, just kind of sharing my thoughts, takes on all these players as training camps are opening up all around the NFL year. I'll be back tomorrow as we transition to the NFC West. 2 of these left to go. So on behalf of David Nakano, our sound and tech engineer, and myself, thank you for joining us, and we look forward next time taking you from Saturday to Sunday.